Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and this week we'll be doing a postscript on the book of Revelation. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I want to thank each one of you who've taken the time to leave a review on iTunes or to send me an email. I really appreciate the encouragement. I'm amazed, humbled, and honored by the difference this podcast has made in so many lives. If this podcast has meant something to you, I always love to hear from you, either through iTunes or by sending an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. We just finished Revelation last week, and I want to encourage you to commit to doing something special, and I believe life-changing. Many people today feel the need to study the Bible, and they get bogged down by things they don't understand, and many quit. Instead, I want to encourage you to begin reading the Bible. Put away the Bibles with lots of study notes and get a Bible with nothing but God's Word in it. You'll be amazed at how many of your questions get answered if you simply read a book of the Bible multiple times in a row. That's the true power of what we're doing here with the 10-Week Bible, simply reading the Bible a lot. With that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what you're saying through your Word today? Touch us, God. Let us know how you feel about us. Let us know the why of everything you've done in the book of Revelation, God. Would you fill our minds and our hearts with your word and your thoughts? In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into our wrap-up of Revelation. Today, I wanted to talk about, on our first day here of a five-day wrap-up of the book of Revelation, I wanted to talk about some of the major themes in Revelation, and I just wanted to touch on some of them briefly. And the reason I'm doing this one-week wrap-up is because there's so many other things that come together for in the end times that aren't necessarily included in the book of Revelation. I wanted to take this week just to bring some of those things together to give us a little bit better understanding of what's going on. And before we jump into those things, I wanted to just kind of recap the major themes throughout the entire book of Revelation so that we can have a big picture understanding of what's going on. And this is something that I guarantee you, if you read the book of Revelation once a week for 10, 20, 30, even 30 weeks, just do it for half a year, you'll be amazed at how much of this stuff you will actually see for yourself. This doesn't take a Bible teacher. It doesn't take commentaries or anything else. You will start to see these themes developing as you read it over and over again. And one of the reasons I feel that people don't see these themes on their own is because most people who are studying Revelation are doing so with the help of pastors in their churches, commentaries, Bible studies, lots of really great things. I'm not saying those are bad things, but our minds are full of more of what people have told us than the Word of God. And as I started to just read the book of Revelation, I did it once a week for 3 years, these themes became painfully obvious. And they were themes that I'd never really heard before as the central themes of the book of Revelation. People are so fascinated with wanting to figure out what every little thing means and how everything fits in the timeline and all of that kind of stuff that they miss the forest for the trees, if you will. They miss the big picture. And so I wanted to just take this first day of our recap here and talk about those major themes. And there's really four major themes that I see. You may see more or less as you read this on your own more and more. But the four things that I see as the major themes are Babylon, the Antichrist and his system, and Babylon and its system, the protection of the Lord, and eternity. Those are the four things that we get out of this. And there's an overarching theme over everything in the book of Revelation that I find everywhere, and that's the power of the cross. As we look through everything, we see the rewards that we receive that we don't deserve because of Jesus' blood on the cross. As we look through the judgments that God pours out on the most heinous, wicked people planet Earth has ever known, I'm impressed and grieved for my own sin that was taken away by Jesus on the cross. I deserve none of the good things that he's giving me and he's telling me he's going to give me in this book. I deserve every negative thing that he's pouring out in this book. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus on the cross am I undone from that. I receive none of the negatives in this book because of Jesus' blood. I receive all of the glory and all of the positives from this book because of Jesus' blood. The more you read it, I feel confident that the more you read this and commit to committing this book to your heart, the more you will see the cross and Jesus' blood and his sacrifice for you, the more you will see God's indescribable love for you in this book. Now, I don't have time to read it today, but I want to turn your attention to Daniel chapter 11. In this chapter, Daniel is given revelation from an angel that about the end times. And it's really, Daniel chapter 11 can be a little bit confusing if you don't understand exactly what's going on. But what he's describing to Daniel is basically the Antichrist and his system, his kingdom, his military advances and things like that. And what we see in Daniel chapter 11 is this is where the angel tells Daniel about the abomination that causes desolation. Jesus is going to mention this in the New Testament. And this is the sign marker. This is the point at which the Great Tribulation begins. The Antichrist will be a man of peace. And I believe it'll be kind of a Roman peace, someone who brings peace through fear, someone who brings peace through the sword. He'll have peace, and he will have brought peace to the Middle East, to Israel and the Palestinians and that area. But then at the 3.5-year mark of the last 7 years, well, there'll be 3 years of peace, and then he will establish himself as God. He will set up the abomination of desolation in the temple. And what Daniel is describing in chapter 11, up to a point, perfectly fits the situation that surrounded Antiochus IV Epiphanes, one of the rulers of the Seleucid kingdom. And he went to Egypt to... He had control of Egypt and everything there. He went to Egypt, and long story short, he ends up ceding Egypt to the Roman Empire. And in his anger, he comes back and he takes his anger and his frustration out on Israel. And he goes in, he conquers Israel, and he goes into the temple, and he actually intentionally defiles the temple by sacrificing pigs in the Holy of Holies. He enters the Holy of Holies and he sacrifices pigs all over the temple just to spite the Jews, just to take out his anger on them. And that is the picture of the abomination of desolation that we have from the book of Daniel. There's so many other things in the Bible. There's over 150 chapters in Scripture that reference. I think it's closer to 170, 180 chapters that are referencing the end times. It's such a huge subject that we've limited ourselves mostly to just studying the book of Revelation, but there's some things outside of that that are very helpful. The Babylonian system, one of the things that I find fascinating about the Babylonian system is that most people that I encounter don't understand when they read the book of Revelation. This will be something that precedes the last 7 years. It'll be preceding that last 3.5 years. The Antichrist's job, if you will, the reason the Lord gives him authority is so that he will completely destroy the Babylonian system and city, the city that is running this horrible system that is perverting the earth. We have to understand as well that the Lord is going to protect his people. He's going to release divine supernatural protection. That doesn't mean he will protect everyone. Not everyone will be safe. John tells us that very clearly when he says, here is the wisdom and patience of the saints. He who is going to be killed by the sword will be killed by the sword. You know, he tells us that the Antichrist will be given authority over the saints to make war with them and to overcome them. So we know very clearly that the Antichrist will kill many believers. The Babylonian system has created many, many martyrs, and the Antichrist will destroy the Babylonian system, and he will continue in that relentless pace of trying to destroy God's people, both both Christians and Jews. And we're talking even non-saved Jews, Jews that still have not accepted Jesus. The Antichrist will try and wipe them out. I've heard it said, you know, one interesting thought on this is that Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem for the last time, he said, "You will not see me again until you Jews, you leaders of Israel, until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Until they say, proclaim Hosanna, they will not see him again. And the idea here is that Satan knows that Jesus has prophesied and promised he will not return to free Jerusalem, which is a big theme in Revelation. He will not return to do that until they ask for him. And so Satan knows that that's coming. So he is going to do everything in his power to try and wipe out the Jews every chance he gets. And so often we see that there are precursors to events. You know, with Antiochus, the fourth Epiphanes is a precursor to the Antichrist with his abomination of desolation. Hitler was a precursor, foreshadowing of what's to come, that there will be a man who will want to annihilate Jews and Christians. I believe Babylon will haphazardly and wantonly kill believers, but the Antichrist will be focused on it. The last major theme in the book of Revelation is eternity. And this is one of my favorite things. You know, there's so much death and destruction and judgment, and there's so many things that we have to wrap our minds around in the book of Revelation, but the passages about eternity, the last three chapters, they're so beautiful, because they give us this wonderful and apt description of what this is all for. The Lord has created his people. He calls them his bride, because he is going to make us pure and spotless for eternity. Nevermore will we be accused by the enemy. Nevermore will we wrestle with sin and shame and the bondage of that brings. Nevermore will we put up with any of that. The Lord is going to bring us into his presence. The Old Testament says, you know, of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. Your eternity, your future is not sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. It's actually on earth with God. And he will continue to do things. He will continue to grow and build. And we will be a part of that. Your eternity, and this is what I love from Revelation, your eternity is not a wholly other than experience, what you know now. It's a completely better than experience. Everything that you know and enjoy in life, that's eternity. It's completely better than everything you know right now. That's our eternal state. That's where we're going. And that's one of the things I love about Revelation, is understanding that eternity. I don't know that there's a book in the Bible that more adequately and expertly represents eternity than the last three chapters of Revelation. There are hints at it here and there, but I love just the clarity that Revelation gives us into our eternity. There's going to be a real city with real trees full of the fruit of life, the tree of life. There's going to be a real river that we drink from, the water of life that Jesus promised to the woman at the well. And we'll never thirst, we'll never hunger, in that we'll never lack. We'll never hunger or thirst from lack. We will hunger and thirst as if for righteousness. But we will never hunger or thirst from lack. We'll have desire for those things, but we'll never lack. Be no more crying or tears or pain. You know, a good friend of mine, they just lost their 3-year-old grandson. And my wife and I have shed tears for them and have wept over this little one. We've all lost. We've all suffered pain in this life. Our eternal fate is there will never be pain again. We will never suffer again. There are going to be those in the end times that are put in concentration camps and suffer greatly. And Jesus promises us we will never ever suffer again. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review in iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.